This is Artist Stories, featuring the stories of artists and arts organizations in our region. Artist Stories is a project of the Arts Foundation for Tucson and Southern Arizona, which is partially funded by the City of Tucson and Pima County. I'm your host, Ava Romero. Today, I'm with artist Karima Walker. Welcome, Karima.
Thanks for having me.
Karima, tell us about your musical trajectory and how you started expanding into more experimental realms.
So I started as a singer-songwriter about 10 or 15 years ago, really influenced by folk music and Americana. And as I started performing and writing my own songs, specifically after moving back to Arizona, I had been feeling some of the parameters around the genre, specifically as a female singer-songwriter. There was something kind of missing in performance, something more complicated and spatial, like even just in terms of taking up space, you know, on a stage, that I wanted to expand and play with. I think there's a certain experience that's expected from a female singer-songwriter, and I needed to find a way of pushing past that. And some people do that by just writing different songs or changing their performance style or through costume, or there are so many different ways to kind of break down, you know, archetypes. And for me, I had been thinking about performing as this type of hospitality where you're in this like push and pull relationship with an audience. And so where I saw that some of the constraints of that singer-songwriter identity are really comforting and grounding. And I wanted to keep those pieces, but I also wanted to start pushing into more dissonant spaces. And so my way of exploring that was initially through very slowly starting to distort my vocal. I started receding as a performer. I, you know, introduced video and projections. I started doing instrumental interludes, and all those things started to take up space in a new way that allowed me to explore some of these limits of otherness and familiarity with an audience. And that is kind of how it opened out into what it is now.
I wonder, Karima, if you could describe the project for which you received an Arts Foundation START grant.
My proposal for that grant was a collaborative project with Nathaniel Myers, a multidisciplinary artist, specifically in this case, choreography. We had collaborated before on a project called Breathe that premiered at Artifact Dance Company. And for this project, we had a connection and way of getting into the Biosphere 2, and specifically the lung, the still operating lung of the Biosphere 2. We decided to work with them to have dance. He choreographed dance. I composed a piece for his dance, which was really complicated with that. This room is like 25,000 square feet. There's, I think, like over a 12-second delay on sound in that space. And we had projections. I performed a short set with imagery. We had an ongoing installation throughout the day for the tours. And then at the end of the day, invited people to come and watch this performance. The room, the lung actually does collapse. There's a huge disc that drops down to the ground. And so throughout the performance, we expanded and then contracted this huge room. It was pretty exciting. I hadn't done anything like that before. And the grant allowed me to buy a projector that could actually project across this huge space.
For people who maybe aren't familiar with the biosphere is Biosphere 2. It's supposed to be like Earth is Biosphere 1, and this place was going to be Biosphere 2. So a completely self-sustaining replication to some extent of different biospheres that we have on Earth. And because it's completely self-sustaining, the air has to be circulated. That's where this giant lung comes from, right? And it's this huge circular concrete space with, like, I don't remember what the lung is constructed of. It seemed like it was maybe some sort of a rubber that's kind of above you if you're standing in the room, and then it comes down and it moves up. So what were some of the projections?
Yeah, so we were working with these ideas of duality within the mythology of Gemini. And so I was really interested in taking footage from outside of this structure and from the other parts of the biosphere and bringing them inside. So it was a lot of imagery being doubled over, pulled from that environment, from this huge campus. And then, because there are, if you've seen the biosphere, which I'm sure a lot of locals have, or at least are familiar with some of the architecture, it's this beautiful, like, white latticed sort of geodesic dome shapes. And so these patterns are really striking. And just the shape of the lung is really striking. And so that I was incorporating that and then pulling from, I don't know what you call them, but they're like these interior landscapes that they've constructed now for, you know, different research purposes, but bringing these sort of not really outside, inside spaces into the lung, which is, you know, parts of it are like subterranean. So it, yeah, there was definitely like a cave, some cave qualities to the space. And I wanted to bring some of that life into it.
Yeah, it's a strong contrast between that kind of rich, verdant, light space on top and then the lung that's just like dark and, you know, very uniform across this enormous space.
Yeah, you know, it's acoustically, and for Nathan as a dancer, It's fascinating and very evocative and inspiring. You know, you have this incredible echo and reverberation, you know, and feedback that's possible in a space like that, which is amazing to hear the resonance of a room that big, that of which, you know, its size changes over time. And then to be able to engage as a dancer with a ceiling that like drops to the ground. I mean, it's not meant to be a black box theater, but the possibilities are pretty amazing. But you're right, in terms of like a place to spend 10 hours, you know, working on production, it's not like, you really do feel like you're kind of in this vacuum, and having reasons to go into other parts of the biosphere and like move and, you know, through the rainforest into the desert and then like the technosphere and like all of the different pieces, you know, there's an ocean where they're still, you know, performing different research studies, you know, any reason to kind of bring those elements into the space was really exciting.
So what was the route for this project? Were you in the biosphere one day and said, it would be amazing to perform here? Or how did it come about?
I grew up in Tucson, and back in the 90s, I went on, I think, two separate field trips to the biosphere, two for just like a class trip. And the original group had either still inside or they had just exited. There was some, I remember growing up with the research and mythology, and, you know, it's such a strange place. So that was just kind of already there for me in terms of what I knew about Biosphere 2. But the actual project grew out of mine and Nathan's original collaboration. So the original piece that we worked on together called Breathe that premiered at Artifact, it was through a connection with the directors at Artifact where they saw that piece and they said, you know, you should talk to this director who oversees the relationship of the humanities at the Biosphere 2 is like, you should talk to this person. You should set up a relationship and see if there's any way to bring this there. So it was really just through this earlier project and the exposure that received. I don't know who this is going out to, but like, that space is so incredible. The Biosphere 2 and the research that's happening there is so incredible. And I think the opportunity for more projects like that, you know, not just in the lung, but like all over that campus for artists is just like, the limits are kind of endless in terms of what people could be doing there. And, you know, a lot of the research that they're doing there now is around climate change. And I think bringing creative voices into that would be awesome.
Karima, tell us about the album coming out on February 26th, Waking the Dreaming Body.
That record is coming out. It's a co-release with two smaller labels that I really love, one of which has been kind of my label home for the past few years. And this record is a little bit different than the last one. It is a mix of instrumental pieces and songs, and that's a little bit different from what I have been doing, because in the past, the relationship between instrumental and lyric-based songs has been more seamless, and that oscillation has happened a little bit more quickly in moving back and forth between them. I think that not touring as much, especially this past year at all, but over the past few years, and my relationship to songwriting, you know, returning to it in certain ways, thinking about kind of assuming like that the span of attention, that the space that I have to work with these different types of songs is expanding. The pieces stand on their own a little bit more than what typically happens in my work. There is more exploration of these dualities, waking the dreaming body. I was thinking a lot about this dual relationship of waking and sleeping, and kind of these in-between liminal spaces between those two states where we kind of grasp parts of both of these worlds. And when we drop into one or the other, what's missing, or what's the conversation happening between them? And so there is some like light and shadow happening for me throughout the process of making this record. But yeah, that comes out at the end of February. It'll be available where all music is available these days, online and websites and streaming.
And we'll include a link to your website at kxci.org too. Karima, I ask everyone about their COVID-19 pivot. How have you had to adapt?
I had been working in two industries that completely shut down with COVID right away. The week that the wave of shutdown hit, you know, our town, I had a show scheduled and had friends that were coming down the coast on tour to play here with me in Tucson. You know, they had started up in Seattle, where some of those original outbreaks were happening in the US. And so they quickly realized, sort of before anything else that I noticed had been affected around me, you know, that they weren't going to be able to continue touring. And, you know, we all sort of had the realization of the gravity of what was unfolding at different times, you know, and even with them canceling, I hadn't totally pieced it together yet. And then and I also had been working as a sound engineer, and then I had been working in a restaurant. So everything sort of happened in about a week. And I suddenly, you know, had all of this time. We all did. And most of us, I guess, a lot of people were still working from home. But my work, for the most part, couldn't be done remotely. So I was just starting the process of recording my album. And most of the songs were written. I think I'd had finished maybe one or two completely in terms of their production, and had been playing with going back to New York to work with a friend who very early in the process we talked about collaborating, and I was hoping to invite her into the project as an engineer and maybe with some production. And I realized pretty quickly that that wasn't going to happen. And so my shift was working by myself for a lot of this process. There were, I think there's one song that didn't make it onto the record that a friend played on. I sent them the file, and then another song that a friend played bass on. But otherwise, all of the mixing and production and playing on the record is my own, which is a pretty big feat. And it's kind of a fittingly insular feat. I, you know, had been processing through my music this insularity that I had, and that versus going out into the world, and really wanted to collaborate. You know, I think that that was the right step for me to be growing as an artist, is to bring collaborators into my music practice. And so it was not on purpose to be doing this all by myself, but that was the direction it went.
What do you think you might have learned about yourself?
I learned some difficult things. You know, up until that point, I worked pretty independently on just about everything that I did. I would kind of just do everything myself. And part of that, I think, was really important for developing my voice creatively. And I'm talking too about visual, the videos that I take, the touring that I plan, you know, all of the artwork for the record, you know, all of those pieces I historically have done almost completely on my own. And I had been feeling this inclination to invite people in, which is scary when you've been in charge of everything. In certain ways, that was put off the opening out. But I think what I learned is that I really need to listen to that. I think that, you know, I've in the past said no to things, or stepped away from things, or chosen to work on things myself. And there's a certain kind of energy you get from like redirecting outward into your own personal work. But I do think that after a while, that can start to stagnate. And so I realized too that I'm a lot happier when I'm going out into the world, when I'm bumping up against other people, when I'm working with ideas that challenge my vision. I think what I've learned is like, accept the invitations that, at least for this season that I'm in or wanting to be in, accept the invitations that pull you outside of your comfort zone. Because I think that there's, you know, there are times to contract and times to expand, not to pull so directly from the biosphere lung, but I think that like, I'm in an expanding mode, and it's time to start reaching out and connecting with people and bringing people in.
Karima, I talk to musicians a lot about this, should I stay or should I go question. I think our listeners have probably heard that conversation a lot on this show. As someone who left Tucson to live in Chicago and then later South Korea, tell us about the factors that brought you back to the desert Southwest and how you feel this journey intertwines with your art.
Growing up in Tucson, maybe for a lot of people who grew up here, I don't think I realized how special and unique the Sonoran Desert is. When I left in high school, I was just like so excited to get out and go to a big city, you know, go to school in another place. I was really eager to get away from some really tough stuff going on in my family and just needed to get out for a while. looking back, you know, I think there was a certain type of growing up that I wanted and needed to do and needed to kind of like relearn in another place. So when I was feeling that it was time to leave South Korea, I was thinking about going to LA. I knew a few people there. I thought, you know, I had decided in South Korea that I was going to finally give myself permission to do and try the thing I wanted to do, which was to make music. And so moving to LA makes a lot of sense for a lot of reasons. But around this time also, things were starting to shift in my family. Certain relationships that weren't as available before were suddenly more available. All my siblings live in Tucson, and you know, none of them had left yet, or they had all, if they had left, they'd come back. And so some of my younger siblings were just sort of coming of age and going into college and leaving college. And so I thought, you know, they might decide to go somewhere else. Like, they might decide to leave. I want to catch some of this time that they're here. So there was a call back to family, but there was also this reconnecting to the physical place that I grew up in. And that, I think, most directly you can see in the work that I've been making. You know, as I was pushing outside of singer-songwriter performance, I was thinking about space and place a lot. And the best way to do that work is to start where you are. So being back in Arizona, for the first record I made when I came back, I was going out into the desert and taking field recordings and looking back over photographs and recordings I had taken in South Korea, not really intending to incorporate those into music necessarily, but more, you know, just being an outsider in another culture and reflecting on that and noticing, you know, those, the differences of culture. And but those ended up getting woven into the work too, as I came back and was looking over all the samples and pieces of information that I had been collecting. And that's something that I've kind of leaned into with the work I'm still doing now, is landscape and place are absolutely a part of what I think about with my work. And they just keep showing up there. Those images, I love those images. You know, specifically the American West, they're endlessly inspiring, and it's also my home.
Considering your interest in place-based work, could you tell us a story about place and your art?
So for the second single that I released from my album, I decided to, the sound piece I was working with, it's called Horizon Harbor Resonance. And I wanted to make a video for this instrumental. And it's a long piece. The song is like 13 minutes long. And I wanted to create a video that could kind of stand up to this durational piece. And a place that kept coming to mind is this place, this part of the country that I really love. I love it as, you know, a touring artist can love a place that they pass through. It's the border of New Mexico and Colorado. And it's when you're leaving Santa Fe and driving up into the Rocky Mountains. Part of that drive is the Rio Grande River Valley. And then it turns into this huge valley that opens out. And then eventually, at the end of the day, you are in Denver. So it takes about maybe 8 hours, depending on which route you take, to move through this huge transitional landscape from high desert into Rocky Mountain. That dry, I don't know if I figured out exactly what it is about that place, but something about the duration of moving from one place to another. And I think it's interesting that you cross a state boundary in the process, and it's so arbitrary. You know, the state boundary is right around this large standalone mountain, San Antonio Mountain. The state boundary feels so insignificant compared to sort of the grandeur unfolding around you. And it's like, because as you're approaching it, this huge San Antonio Mountain for over the course of an hour is just like by itself, just like slowly moving by you on the left. And then somewhere in there, you're in Colorado. And it's like, I've been approaching this for 45 minutes, like knowing like when you're in that next region isn't a matter of, you know, a sign telling you that you're in another region. Like there's a kind of knowing that you have access to when you're moving through a place like that. And you have a whole day to watch that place unfold. So that was kind of the point. Like, that's what I wanted to try and talk about with this video. So back in December, I was talking to my partner and I was like, you know, I think I want to go up here. Like, do you want to come with me? You can help me drive. He realized that there's an acquaintance that we hadn't really met yet, but just through other friendships who lived somewhere in that area. And he had a guest house so we could safely be based out of that area for this trip. And it turns out that his family has been based from the base of that mountain for seven generations. While we were there and I was describing the project, and specifically my love of this mountain as kind of this announcement of moving into this new region, he gifted me with a photo book that his brother had made that documents the mountain from this small town over the course of, I believe, over the course of a year. And so you see the mountain from close by and from far away and in different seasons. And it's always populating the horizon in this town in some way. You know, I think that like it goes to show how there was something really special about this mountain that I still don't feel capable of articulating, but that I think that people who've lived under it for seven generations are maybe a little bit better at articulating, but it felt really special to share in the appreciation of that place in just a little way, even as a visitor. That felt kind of lucky to get a window into what this place is to a family that's been there for so long.
This has been Artist Stories with Ava Romero, featuring the stories of artists and arts organizations in our region. Today we heard from Karima Walker, whose album, Waking the Dreaming Body, is out February 26. To listen to more podcasts, visit kxci.org. Artist Stories is a project of the Arts Foundation for Tucson and Southern Arizona, which is partially funded by the City of Tucson and Pima County. Support for Artist Stories is provided by Benjamin Supply, presenting a full spectrum of hardware and plumbing fixtures for kitchen and bath and their gallery Tucson, offering national and local art in both the Tucson Warehouse and Transfer Buildings on 6th Street and 7th Avenue. Call 777-7000 or visit benjaminsupply.com or gallerytucson.com.